One of the things we want this church to be very flexible in is the Word of the Lord. And I don't mean just a word. I mean whatever His will is, that would be the Word also. And I don't want it to become a free-for-all either, but by the same token, I don't want us to get in such a rut. We can't just say, let's don't have church today. But if you're not bold to do it, don't wish it, okay? So as you pray for freedom in the Spirit for this church, expect that God will use you. Amen? You have any idea what I'm talking about? Okay. All right, are you ready to receive God's tithes and our offerings unto Him? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Give Him a praise. You'll be blessed for it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Once again, I'll remind you that everything that He's ever given us, it's for a purpose. The number one purpose is to bring glory to Him. The number two purpose is that we realize it was given to us for seed time and harvest. That's everything. That's not just our money. That's our breath, our words, our walk, our talk. They were given to us for seed time and harvest. The reason I remind you at the offering time is that I want you to do this year round, all the time. But at offering time, make sure that you seed so that you can get a harvest. Amen? There's no obligation here. If you don't want any harvest, don't seed. It's that simple. God made a promise to us. As long as you see the sun rise in the east and set in the west, I give the ability to seed so that you can get a harvest. Plain and simple. Let's just be wise in that. Amen? All right. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You that it's not a hollow promise, but it is the law. And nothing can break Your law. We invoke that this morning for every believer that drops money into the offering. When they drop it in there, they know beyond a shadow of a doubt in their heart that there will come forth a harvest. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Men will chase them down to give to them. We thank You for that. We thank You in love and thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Since we don't have any special playing this morning, y'all need to get your Bibles and get ready. Get your notepads and your pens. And in Jesus' name, you will go someplace you have not been before. Hallelujah. Somebody can turn that on for me in a minute. Hallelujah. Did we have any more of those handouts left over that we gave out about a couple of weeks ago? No more? Okay. Anybody have one in their hand? You need it? You want to share it? I've got one. You guys got any? I've got one. Somebody else, I think, if you can share with him, I know he hasn't seen it. I'm just worried about people that haven't seen it before, that's all. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not going to read through that again. You can kind of read through it on your own while the dust is settling from the stampede, praise the Lord. I want you to, I just don't have time to go through that again. Doesn't make any difference what I want. I'm just going to start. Let's start. We're talking about born again. Being born again. Sometimes we go through life and we become so familiar with it that it becomes that valuable thing, but it also becomes dusty. And we refer to it, but we lose an understanding or a feeling. And I just want to go through it. I want to remind you, let me start so we can get finished. Father, it's Your Word, it's Your people, it's Your will, it's Your kingdom, it's Your work that needs to be done. We volunteer to hear about it, understand it, and do it this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. What is being born again? Man, I've got so many notes. That's something that you and I do. Or actually, that's not true. It's something that you and I participate in. Everybody in here know you were born. Born. Literally born. Jesus said, unless you be born again, you will never see the kingdom of God. He never said you wouldn't see heaven because heaven's not important to Him. No more than it should be important to us. The kingdom of God is what is important. You know what a very foolish man is? A very foolish man is one that just as he starts the business, begins to dream about retirement and spends dreaming about retirement every day of his life. That's a man that will never retire because he'll never make enough money to retire. If all he can think about is retirement, he will not retire. He'll not make it. Because he cannot concentrate on what it takes to get there. So I'm going to suggest to you once again that we forget about heaven. It isn't important to us right now. Jesus said it isn't. He said the kingdom was important. And if you want to see the kingdom, you got to be born again. Okay. One of his disciples said, "Whoa. You mean I got to go back to my mother's womb?" He said, "Oh, come on, man. Listen to what I'm telling you. Stop trying to start another religion. Another go back into your mother's womb denomination. Listen to what I'm telling you. Listen to me. You will understand the kingdom, but don't get things out of order. You must be born again." It starts with us understanding what redemption is. We like born again so much we don't want to think on redemption. Or we like redemption so much we don't want to think on born again. Jesus died to pay the debt that we could not pay. Our grandpapa, Adam, took us someplace we weren't supposed to go. Our real Godfather, Jesus, our Father God, Jesus, our Father God through Jesus, took us to a place we need to be. He did that by paying our debt. Now please, I'm going to say it to you one more time. He did not forgive your debt. He made it where you could live free, but you still owe Him your life. That's what born again means. It means you must die and be born again. Now, I want to open up some things that will help understand what I'm talking about today. Once again, you still owe a debt you cannot pay. But now, since Jesus bought the paper, you owe it to Him. Got it? And He is going to punish you with life and life more abundant. That's the punishment. I don't know what else to say. That's it, man. Don't worry about heaven. You're going to get there. Don't talk about it. Don't think about it. Just worry about what He's got to do today. That's what the Word of the Lord was speaking this morning. Don't relinquish your responsibility to the prayer chain or to coming to church on Sunday morning or the preacher or even to prayer. Prayer is not going to be everything. There's going to be works involved. That's a debt that you're going to spend your life paying. Begins with redemption. That's something you didn't ask for and you have no choice about. It's a done deal. Let me say one more thing about redemption. Everybody owes the debt to Jesus. Everybody, whether they take advantage of it or not. Redemption is for everyone. Born again is for those people that say, "I don't like who I am and what I am. I want to be something else." That's what born again is. And all of a sudden, for the first time in your life, you are given the choice of Satan your father or God your father. You can choose now. Before you couldn't. Now you can. It's a choice. And when you choose being born again in the spirit realm, a new way of life, a new father, then you enter into being born again. Now, before I go any further, I want to read to you Isaiah 53. You've got it up there. I need to get over to my notes, not somebody else's. That means last week's. Isaiah 53. "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes we are healed." Today I'm going to show you Isaiah 53, born again, Jesus Christ, salvation, redemption, being saved, all in Isaiah 53. The reason I want to use that, the reason God wants to use it, is a couple of things. One is so that you and I will stop thinking about salvation being different from healing. Because one of the things that happened when you were born again is you were given clean genes. The gene pool that you now entered into does not have to be sick, broke, down, insane, cancerous, any other weird words you can think of. I don't know why we just can't say I caught a big dose of Jesus today. Instead of going around saying I'm catching a cold, we'll catch Jesus instead. Don't talk about it. I don't care if you feel bad. Jesus didn't feel so good when He took all of this stuff upon Himself. But He didn't tell you, "I guess I'm catching sin, disease, sickness." He didn't talk about it. His loudest words on the cross were, "It is finished." That was to you, not to Him. It's finished. All we got to remember is what we were born again into. Now, I'm going to talk to you this morning about redemption. We've already talked about it, being born again. the difference between being saved and salvation. Two different words. Being saved and then salvation, and the three types of salvation we're talking about. I'm going to show it to you and then I'm going to hit it. Born again, Isaiah 53 is the transgression. He was wounded for our transgressions. Saved or safe says he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace falls down to the word sotero, which is salvation. And then this diasozo, which most of us know sozo means safe, means that we are continually being healed. We are. Are doesn't mean past tense. It means right now. Are. And then that last word, y'all make it up as you go. We are healed. That means for now and eternity. It means everything to come. Hebrews 9:13, y'all can write this down if you want to, says the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who were ceremonially unclean sanctify them, this is Old Testament, so that they are outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts, A-C-T-S. That's something that you and I do. We're not just, the sin is not erased, but because the gene pool of the bloodline has changed, the want to is taken away. Now, please don't, I was duped when I was younger. I misunderstood. That doesn't mean you're never going to have a thought process that doesn't try to lead you in the wrong direction. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about there's something in you that wants to do right more than wrong, and it overrules the wrong. That's what I'm talking about. That God Himself, through the Holy Spirit, whenever the thought processes, old, new, it doesn't make any difference, that leads you in the wrong direction, the Holy Spirit's the one that sticks close to the brother. The very Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead and the one that raised you from the dead in salvation now visits you and convinces you on a regular basis that it's better the right way than the wrong way. That's what this is talking about. That's what Jesus did so that we may serve the living God. This is why it's done. Not to get you to heaven. Please, man, let's grow up. God didn't save you to get you to heaven. It says that so you can serve the living God. And by the way, the reason I want you to understand that is if we begin that now, you won't even know when you get to heaven. You'll be so busy doing it. It says that you'll never experience death. Is that correct? And if we're living for God now in a born again, that Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead has raised me from the dead, then I won't even know when I go to heaven. You guys may weep for me, but I won't be weeping. If you're goofy enough to be sad that I'm in heaven, then that's your problem. I'm going to be dancing. And I will not feel sorry for you feeling sorry. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. For there is one God, one mediator between God and man, that is Jesus Christ, who gave Himself a ransom for all. I told you last week a mediator is one that resolves a situation between two different entities. That is Jesus Christ, us, God. Being born again is giving up the old family for the new. And I mean literally if necessary. I'm not going to go through all that. 2 Corinthians 5:16 or 17 says, when someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. He is not the same anymore. A new life has begun. You know what an idiot is? I'm going to describe to you an idiot. It's one that accuses that baby of doing something wrong. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? When we're born again, many times we become idiotic because we want to hold something that's past against a brand newborn baby. That's what being born again is. That right there is what being born again is. It involves a lot of things. It involves one that don't know nothing. That baby don't know anything. And she needs help. That's why the Bible says, train them in the way they should go and they'll not depart from it. That baby is going to mess his diapers, her diapers, often. Don't ever throw the baby out because she messes her diapers. Boy, that's really... But why can't we understand that about newborn people? Don't yell and scream at her and shake her. She's learning. Right? And if she takes in food and gets it all over herself and makes a big mess, clean her up. Don't destroy her. That's born again. That's how we are or were, and then we have the responsibility of bringing somebody from that stage to where they need to be. Jesus didn't say, I will train her in the way she would go. Said, you do that. And that's pointing to the whole church. All right. Redemption, born again, salvation, or being saved, is walking in the promises and covenant that you made with Jesus when you were born again. Now, if you've ever been born again, you know what you promised. I don't know how He does it, and I don't care. It's good. When you finally have enough of you, what you say is, I've had enough of me. You may say it in your own words, but that's what it's saying. You're saying, I want you. This comes out of nearly everyone's mouth. I'll do anything. Whatever it takes, that means I'll do anything. Come on, that's what happens. I give up. That means I'll do anything. And all of a sudden, God says, you got a deal. You've got a deal. And I'm going to hold you to it. And if you don't listen, you're going to go through hell now and forever because you and I have a deal now. Now the cool part, I'm not trying to be scary about this, but the cool part of this is, He'll never ask you to do anything that'll hurt you. Right. He'll only ask you to do things that will help you and someone else. Now it may feel like it hurts, but don't go by your feelings. Go by the facts. Go by the truth. The truth is, His burden is easy and light. The directives He gives to you are easy and light. The accuser is the one that comes over to you and says, remember, I'll tell you how stupid that is. Kylie, do you remember? That's how stupid it is. Why can't we just understand the devil's stupid? He's only got stupid lies to give to you. I didn't say he didn't know what was going on. I'm telling you, his methods are already defeated. They've lost, and yet he keeps trying them. We just need to be smarter than he is. Being saved is walking in the promises and covenants you made Jesus when you were born again. That you would seek Him continually and you'd obey Him. Now, we'll start with the whole picture. Now, I'm going to start with the whole picture. Don't forget Isaiah 53. We're going to talk about redemption, born again, saved, safe. Born again. The word is, born again is not sozo. Nearly everybody here knows sozo. That means safe. Born again is not sozo. No more than redemption is sozo. I'm not even going to try to say it. It's something like ginano or something. It means to procreate. Anybody here know what procreate is? Born again means procreate. It means to regenerate, bring forth, conceive. So we're not talking about some fictitious word we can't understand. That means when we agree to it, God literally, by the Spirit, another virgin birth happens in you. And you die and Jesus is born again. See, you think you're born again. You're not even born again. Jesus is born again. How do you like that thought? I need to write that down over there and put it in my notes. I'm telling you, you're to die. Isn't that the order? It is appointed unto man once to die. He's not talking about at the grave. It's the time the Holy Spirit comes to you and says, choose life. This day, choose death or life. I recommend life. Here it is. And if we die, Jesus is born again. That ought to excite you. It's a whole lot better than you being born again. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Now that tells you what you are. Corruptible has passed away. You've become incorruptible. Ooh. By the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. That's born again. Safe or saved, that is the word sozo. Now I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures to back that up. Sozo means... Y'all ever watch an umpire when he goes like this? Do you ever see what happens when somebody challenges it? He can be totally wrong, but he called it. And that's the way it is. Never saw one change their mind yet. Right? Well, that's what sozo means. It don't mean saved. It means safe. And nobody calls it again. Okay? The trouble about being safe is that you got to be saved from something and become safe into something. If you're out in a boat, I mean, if you fall overboard on the next cruise that you go on, you are now in hostile territory. Somebody runs and throws you a life jacket. Oh, you're born again. And they drag you all the way to Cozumel behind the cruise ship. They're just trolling for a bigger fish. That's all they're doing. And you're the bait. What I'm trying to tell you is when God says safe, He throws you the lifeline and drags you back up on the boat. Because you're saved from something into something. Okay? That's what safe is. Well, that was the picture God gave me. I just have to go with it. It means safe, to save, to keep safe, to deliver, to protect, to heal, preserve, rescue from danger, rescue from suffering, make whole, restore to health. That's what sozo means. Matthew 1:21, with that in mind, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, what's that mean? Well, the church will tell you that means he just bled enough to wash them away. But that's not what it says. It says he'll make them safe from their sins. That's two things. They are washed away and forgotten. Two, I'll give you a way never to go back. I'll put you up on the boat. Now, if you jump off again, you're going to become bait. You stay on the boat, we'll keep you safe. I'm going to ask you to do a couple of things while you're up here, but it'll be well worth your while. All right, Matthew 10:22. And you'll be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved. Now, what I'm telling you is I didn't pick the word save or save. I picked up sozo, 49:82. The two are the same word. Are you hearing me? So what he did on the cross is still being talked about, but he endures to the end will be saved. It's not a one-time process. Anybody that told you it was a one-time process, they want to make that cross cheap. The Bible says you got to take up your cross and follow me. It don't say die on the cross. It says take up the cross and follow me. Matthew 18:11. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. Acts 14:9-10. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed. 49:82. Now if you've got to have faith to be healed, you've got to have faith to have 49:82. Sozo. That means the walk of salvation is not because Jesus died on the cross. It opened the door so you could walk in faith and endure to the end. And seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand up straight on your feet, and he leaped and walked. Another form of sozo. When we are walking in dis-ease, sickness, the full package of sozo has not yet been applied to your life. And we mock what Jesus did. Why do you want to be saved? Because Jesus deserves more than mockery. Why do you want to be healed? Because, man, He did the work. I'm not going to ask Him to do any more. It was plenty enough. Why don't I just take advantage of it? You see what I'm saying? Endures to the end will be saved. Salvation. I've gone through redemption, born again, saved. The four stages here are the four things that must be involved. Now we're going to the fifth one called salvation, which involves three different stages, three different things. Salvation is soteria. It is not sozo. It's a totally different word. It means rescue or bring to safety, deliver, health, salvation, deliverance, preservation, and it even incorporates the person himself, the Savior. It takes you and him and puts you together. That's what salvation is doing. Now that you're up on the boat, we start a class saying how not to fall off the boat. And Jesus is the instructor. So we learn not to keep falling off the boat and make somebody drag us back in again. That makes sense to you? Luke 1:71. This is 49:91, the word. That we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. See, I'm taking you a little further than just from redemption or salvation. I mean, being saved, born again. This is happening so that we can be safe from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. So the next time somebody comes to you and says, I hate you, you can say, I'm utterly crushed. I'm utterly crushed. I think I'm going to lose sleep about that tonight. I don't have to worry. Oh God, what did I do? Hey, if you did something, God will tell you. You can be faithful. Just understand, He'll tell you. You don't have to have the world to tell you. He'll tell you. The world may contribute a little bit, but God will be the one. That's the class you'll go to. How not to fall off the boat. Luke 1:77. To give knowledge of salvation to His people by the remission of their sins. Listen. Redemption is the remission of their sins, or when you enter into that, born again. Choose it. But you will never understand salvation until there are remission of sins. The remission of sins doesn't just mean they're washed away. It means you got to go back to that word that says the acts cease. I'm going to tell you something. I promise you. If you think that it's all right to commit adultery once in a while because you're a Christian, you will never understand salvation. That's what this scripture says. What does that mean, understand? You will never get truly safe. There will always be something that's bothering you. I don't care what. You'll never be able to get a good night's sleep. You'll never feel good about the world or about God or about anything that happens in your life. Why? Because you are blind to the Savior. You can't join to come one with the Savior. So you can't truly enter into salvation. 1 Timothy 4:16. Take heed to yourselves and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. The church has been in a position that they've been in so much doo-doo that nobody wants what they got. Are you hearing me? You go, oh, let me tell you about my Jesus. Aren't you the one over there that I saw? Aren't you the one that I heard? And then they don't say it out loud, but they look at you and say, you really think I want what you got? You got to be kidding. Show me the money. I thought it was a great cry. Let me tell you what the world is saying. Show me the Savior. Show me the Savior. I don't want to hear about Him. I want you to show Him to me. That's the union of salvation that we're talking about. You're standing there and you're saying, I am so much at peace. Well, what did you just say about fear? I'm afraid I'm catching a cold. I'm afraid I'm about to go bankrupt. You know. That's some Savior you got. Could you show Him to my neighbor? I'm not interested. And that's what the world's really telling us. I think I'm going to hang up on this sales call. I'm telling you, if you're showing the Savior, nobody's going to hang up. Because they want. They want bad. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Now, I'm going to lay something on you. It says, you will save those who hear you. You will do that. Now, you and I both know that you can't save anybody. But when you're in salvation, they're seeing the Savior. They're coming to the Savior, not to you. You just let them come towards you. That's fine. As soon as they get close enough, you point the right direction. But don't be so goofy, so false humble, that you are not involved in the salvation. Please become involved with the Savior in the salvation plan. It wasn't just for you. According to this, it was for the world. You just happened to take advantage of a good situation. And you say, thank you, Jesus. Now, where do I go? I got something that they need. Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Now, how come we can think this is a one thing? This is just all of that. Once you're born again, you're born again. That's not what that scripture says. It says you came in the door because of what Jesus did. But there's got to be more than that. The washing of regeneration, that's born again, and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. That's the class where you learn how not to fall off the boat. How long is the class? How many times have you fallen off the boat? I wish I could tell you that you'd never fall off the boat again. I wish you got a boat. I wish I could tell you that you'll never fall off the boat. But I can't guarantee that physically. I can't. You can't guarantee me physically. I mean spiritually either. But I can tell you there's an ongoing class that will assure that you'll fall less and less and less and less. And that is also the plan of God from beginning at redemption. We've got to teach the whole package or we're never going to draw anybody into the kingdom. The kingdom is a citizenship that you must require the entire package. Let's move on. James 5:15. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, not sozo. It's the class that keeps you from falling off the boat. It's a continuing thing. The prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. So now we see another aspect of this thing. Not only is it ongoing edifying, it's also ongoing sanctifying or redeeming. How many of you know, you should know by now, that many times when you think everything is just hunky-dory, and you go to praying to God, you find out there's something in there He don't like. And so now you got to, seems like you got to get born again. No. Though this is the class to say, wear a different type of shoe and you won't fall off the boat. It's an ongoing thing. You find out that there are some things. See, they're not really sins until you and God know that they're sins. God tells you, and you have to say, I'm sorry, I won't do it anymore. If you do them again, now they're really sins. That's the sin unto death. They're sin unto death. One is more of a mistake situation, hidden stuff. I didn't know about it. I'm sorry, God. I didn't even know I was displeasing you. I want to do better. But once you know, the Bible says you become accountable. And it will not be just, nobody's just going to look to one side. You may have to go in that water again. 1 Peter 1:9. Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Now, for the first time, I'm telling you that the end is the salvation of your souls. Not on June 11th, 1941 at 9:09 in the evening. More than likely, you don't really remember that anyway. You just made it up to fit somebody's requirement. I'll be honest enough, I can tell you where it happened. I've told you before, it happened in a restroom. I can tell you where it happened. It happened in the First Church of the Nazarene in Corpus Christi, Texas. I was running away from God. I said, surely He won't come in a restroom. And if He'd ever told me that, He must have lied because He followed me right in. What night? Don't know. Who was preaching? Don't care. What time? So not important. When was the last time you got saved? Just a while ago with that new revelation. Got saved again. More of Jesus was birthed in me, hopefully in you also. Ongoing to the end, which there is no end. But because we're finite people, we like periods. Number two, salvation. That word. This is diasozo. Diasozo. It's a variation of the word sozo. It means to save, to cure, to preserve, to protect, to rescue, to make whole. Now I'm going to put those words in a couple of scriptures. Matthew 14:35. And when the men of that place recognized Him, they sent out into all the surrounding region, brought to Him all who were sick. This scripture is referring to people that were still not complete. And when it was recognized, He said, got more for you. You see, He didn't say all the sinners that were sick. He said all that were sick. What is sick? Disease. There's two sicknesses in the Bible. One is sickness, one is dis-ease. One is a malady, one is anything that makes you miserable. Dis-ease. Two things that Jesus died on the cross for. What is Isaiah 53? He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes or with His stripes we are healed. Let me tell you something. Us born-again Christians, all we want to talk about is healing from there on. Well, I got news from you. You were dying of a sin disease, and that's all He did from the beginning was to heal you. Why do we want to divide it up? Are we crazy? Do we worry about what kills us? It's all right to be born again, just as long as I die of cancer in Christ Jesus. Amen. Hey man, we're all tempted in that area. I've fought it like crazy. The rule is, I birthed you, don't die. I'll decide when you come be with me, and there's no death in that. So we don't have an excuse with cancer or high blood pressure or diabetes or anything. It's not an excuse. Don't say, I've got an excuse for my sins. It's called the blood of Jesus. But it's all right for me to die. Because it was all covered right there. Isaiah 53:5. And quoted again by Jesus. The whole package is a package. And I've told you this before. I'll remind you again. He spent 33 years understanding slipping off the boat. He took all of and being sick and discomforted, diseased. He took all of that information. God the Father says, now it's time for you to handle it. The whole package. Jesus spent I don't know how many hours being bruised, spit on, bleeding. That He did for everything except paying for the sin. For everything. All it took Him to pay for sin was one less heartbeat. He could have done that at birth. If Mary would have pulled Him apart at birth, He would have paid for the sins. But there was all of that other time He paid for everything else. Let's don't mock Him by saying He didn't and that it's ineffective. Let's don't say it's all right to be weak and sick when the Word of the Lord comes out telling us to be strong and bold and speak to the world and make things happen. Oh no, right now, Jesus, I'm a little too busy dying. I'm a little too busy being sick and weak. Don't bug me with all that dominion stuff. I better get the tape and listen to this. You know what I mean? Matthew 14:35, here's verse 36. They brought all who were sick and begged Him that they might only touch the hem of His garment. And as many as touched Him, they were made perfectly sozoed. Well, that perfectly well is via sozo. We always say, oh, the issue of blood dried up. Kiss my foot. The issue of blood came into effect. Jesus' blood now took care of everything. And every sickness, every disease, every sin was touched right at that moment. Acts 27:43. But the centurion, wanting to save Paul, kept them from their purposes and commanded that those who could swim should jump overboard and first get to land. Those wanting to save Paul. Now listen. Those wanting to save Paul were out of order. They were crying out, jump off the boat. I'm not looking for the entire story. You listen to what I'm saying. Don't nitpick me. We can have people give us advice because in their heart of hearts, they're wanting to diasozo us. Ever had anybody do that? Constantly. There's always somebody that's full of good intentions. They think they're the Savior led by the Holy Spirit of the living God. And they're going to tell you how to get it done. Let me tell you something. Salvation. Soteria. You have a union with the Savior. And there is only one Savior. And there's only one way to be saved. And if that union between you and Him gets weak, you're going to fall for some bunch of nonsense. And if that union between you and the Savior is strong, you won't fall for anything. People will fall for you. Did you hear that last one? People will fall for you. Humility comes in when you see people falling for you. You know it's not you. It never was you. It never will be you. And if it ever becomes you, you're going to lead them to hell with you. 1 Peter 3:20. Who formerly were disobedient, when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, 8 souls, were saved through water. They were diasozoed through water. Now, the reason I showed you this is because that's Old Testament. We thought that we had a corner on things come New Testament day. And yet, plain as day, why don't we understand that the Savior was active in the Old Testament? We got a better deal. But it wasn't a new deal. We just named it a new deal. Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy. I just came to make it easier and better. Better. I don't know if He made it any easier or not. That's y'all decide that. But I'm telling you, the same Savior in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John was the same Savior in Noah's day. And salvation was started and it continued on. Listen, if Noah hadn't listened how to stay on the boat, he would have been in the water. And he'd been catfish food. I promise you. He'd have been that if he hadn't listened. It's the same salvation today, guys. There's nothing new. Don't let anybody deceive you that says if God tells you to build a boat and you don't do it, you won't end up catfish food. It's the same God. He said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's not scary. It worked. It worked for people like Noah and Abraham. Those little old people, they didn't accomplish anything. What's the difference with us? You heard the Word of the Lord this morning through the reading and through the living Word. Through Rhema, didn't you? He wasn't calling us to be quiet, timid, humble like the world wants us to be. All right, let's move on. I can stay. I don't want to. Okay. Now, the third part of salvation. That phulasso means, again, kept or keep or kept. But it's like the one that's doing it. Listen, to be kept is like put inside of a fence. In Job's time, they set a hedge about him. That would be the one that is the phulasso. Are you hearing me? It's part of salvation. You can't get rid of it. You'll go in these stages in recognition. But I'm telling you, the one that calls you through redemption into being born again and saved is the one that calls you inside of the hedge. He never stops calling. I'm telling you something. We are so goofed up in our theory that He stops calling us after we're saved. If you don't hear Jesus calling you when you wake up in the morning, you need to get some things cleaned up. If you didn't hear Jesus calling us through the Word, through the music, and through this Word this morning, there's something wrong in you. It says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear." Get some ears. And if you don't have any, pray for them to preserve, to keep. Matthew 19:20, and we're getting close. The young man said to him, "All these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack?" Well, Stan, where does that apply? All of these things I have kept from my youth. You know what he was saying? I've been saved since I was a little kid. And I've obeyed the Ten Commandments. And I've obeyed my parents. And I've done all of these things. I have kept your word. I have hedged it around about me. I've got it right here on my forehead right now. You know what Jesus' response was? You know what that response was? I believe that that young man was being led by God all of his life, walking and following God. And he came up to this line of embarkment here. And Jesus said, "Come on. I got better places, bigger things." He says, What do I need to do? Already you got a problem. If you're having to ask what you need to do, you got to follow Him. That's what you need to do. But the reason you ask is because something's already bugging you. And he said, "Just stop worrying about money. Follow me." Guy says, "Can't do it." And you know what the Bible says? He says he turned away sad. He was sad. Why was he sad? If the money was all important and he couldn't turn, why would it make him unhappy? Because he knew he just fell off the boat. And he didn't care. Listen to me. There's some ears in here that need to hear this right now. We're not asking you if you're comfortable where you are, because we don't give a flip. I happen to know you're not. I happen to know you're not. Why? Because I happen to know the Savior. And He don't ever make you comfortable. He makes you peaceful. There's a difference. There's a big difference. If I know that I'm on the way following the footsteps of Jesus Christ, that in itself should give me extreme peace. But it ain't going to let me sleep. I don't mean sleep like at night. I mean slumber, a little folding the hands and comes destruction, that kind of sleep. I'll never be able to say, "Hey, God, boop, boop, boop. I want off the ride. I've had enough. Just leave me right here, and when you come back by, I'll be here." He'll say, "I'm not coming back by. I'm not coming back by. You stay, you stay." Come on, you know what I'm telling you is right. Jesus doesn't walk in circles. He's not a mall shopper where he walks to one end and comes back to the other. He knows where he's going. He's not shopping because he's already got it and he knows what he has. And he says, "Come follow me. Join in. I got it all. I don't know what you're looking for. I got it all. Follow me and you can have it all. You stop and shop, you lose." "Well, I'm just going to sit here. I'm a little tired." "All right, you sit there. Just enjoy this view because it's the last one you're going to have." One thing I know about Jesus, He's on the move. He's on the move. He don't retire. He's never retired. God the Father retired. He rested on the Sabbath. Entered into the Sabbath rest. But that was not the end of the story. Then He sent Jesus to accomplish something so we could go to work. Jesus is still doing. Now, you took up your cross and you're following Him, right? Okay. If He doesn't make you a little uncomfortable once in a while, ask Him to. In the light of what I just said. The young man said, "What do I still lack?" Listen to me. "What do I still lack?" And Jesus told him. And he said, "I didn't want to hear that." Jesus said, "You asked me? If I'd have been silent, I would have been a liar. If I'd have told you anything else, I'd have been a liar. You said to me, 'What do I still lack?' And I told you." So don't ask Jesus you don't want a question. I mean, an answer for. Don't ask Him a question you don't want an answer for. And by the way, it won't make any difference. You're still going to ask Him. I don't know what. I'm being silly here. You'll have a dream. You'll have a vision. He'll speak to you in praise or prayer time. And all it's going to do is make you curious and make you say, "What do I still lack?" He's going to force it. I'll tell you what, there's no closer like Jesus. He's the one that developed the 10-point questions or whatever to bring you to the right close. He knows what He's doing. Don't arm wrestle with Him. You'll lose. Luke 2, verse 8. "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night." This word, this phileo, is keeping watch. Now, Once you're born again, for all of you charismatics, Baptists, whatever you want to, used to call yourself, don't do it anymore. You're not free the first time you confess. You've been freed from death into life, but that is not free. It costs you your life. We're going to get that down. There is someone with a package. Jesus, the shepherd, isn't that what he's referred to? Keeping watch. One of the great things that my parents always taught me is that somebody's always watching. You don't do anything, you don't say anything where somebody's not keeping notes. Don't call him omniscient if you don't understand what that means. Don't call him omnipresent if you don't understand what that means. And please, if you want to play around with him, understand what omnipotent means. All right, keeping watch. Luke 11:28. But he said more than that, blessed are those who hear the word and keep it. Philosso it. So there's two parts of this. One is that that keeps you. Two, that that you keep. One, they have, just like salvation, the Savior and the saved, those two things have to work in union. If you don't intend to keep the Word will not keep you. Amen. It's that simple. If with all of your heart you intend to keep the Word, I'll tell you this much, with all of God's heart, He intends to keep you with that Word. There comes the peace. See, I know that, so I can sleep. I can rest. I can smile in the face of the enemy like there wasn't any, because there isn't any. You see Kylie worrying about the enemy? Look at her worrying. I mean, there's nothing more delicate than that right there. One little drop, one little fall, one little something, and they're dead. And yet they worry the least of anything. And when we get big and strong and full of the Holy Spirit, praise God, we start worrying about everything. What in the world is this? I look back and think about the things that I did to a kid. No angels were. I was working them overtime, man. There's some up there with full pockets because they got paid overtime watching for me. And now I'm supposed to worry? No, I don't think so. It's too late. You know, it always tickles me that people, it seems like the tradition is that the older a person gets, the more afraid they get. I don't understand this. I don't understand it. Man, if the devil comes and threatens you, if you're 60, 70, 80 years old, and the devil comes and threatens you, you ought to laugh the loudest. You've broken every odd there is. You've had angels watching you all this time. Why get worried now? But you don't understand how I feel. No, I don't want to. I want you to understand how I feel. I feel that God's taking care of you very well. And I feel like that you have nothing to worry about. And I feel like that if I lay down tonight and I die, I just beat you to whatever's after. Because to be absent here is to be present with the Father. My word. Paul gets excited about that in the Bible. I get excited about it sometimes too. And he says, you know what? I want to go. Now! But there's some more people I got to save. Come on. Get a little bold with me for a second. There's some more people I got to talk to and touch and heal. And there's some, let me throw out another little word for you. There's still some generation that must be touched. There's still some seed time and harvest that must be touched. I mean, the first time in all seriousness that the devil ever offered me death. And I mean, by offered, I mean I was dying. What God put in my mind was the covenant that I had with my children. He called me a bad name. I don't mean he cussed. I mean he called me a cop-out, a chicken. Somebody that was copping out on the covenant that I made to my young children. That I didn't have the right to do that. That's what God told me. You don't have the right. You can't choose to die. I heard the covenant you made with them. What I didn't understand is that I'd already made a covenant with my grandchildren also. And I still don't have the right to die. I don't have the right until God the Father says, you have run the race, finished the course. You've done. You've done everything that I've assigned you to do. It's okay for you to check out now. Why? Look at those three words in salvation. Peace. Totally being healed. I am healed. I've kept the Word. The Word has kept me. Can we say to those that have a question, the Word has kept me because I have kept the Word? Can we honestly say that to people? We need to get to understand that we're different creations. We're new. There's nothing the same. When we had the last show, I promised that I would give a building away at 50% off. 50% off. At the show, a guy came up and signed up, gave us a deposit on a $50,000 building. Mr. Grace calls, the owner of the factory calls and says the next day, he says, what if that guy wins that building? I said, oh, I can guarantee you he won't. Now, you know what you just thought? Why did you think that way? Because you're that way? Mr. Grace says, what's the good book say? The good book says, I can tell you what the good book, I told him what the good book says. The good book says count the cost. And if I don't make money, I'm out of your business. That's what the good book says. I didn't have time to go through him about my faith. I've already sat with him. I've already witnessed to him about my faith. Right, Harry? He knows what I've been through and what I believe and what I believe is to come. I have already confessed that to him. But the minute I said, I can guarantee you it's not going to happen, he wasn't thinking faith. He was thinking cheat. Why? Well, a man that calls you cheat, cheat is one. A man that knows by faith what's going to happen is one that lives by faith. By the way, we didn't cheat. They didn't win. I don't know what people have won yet because, anyway, that's another story. More than that, blessed are those who hear the Word of God and keep it. If we are truly born again, saved and kept, we will see things differently. You know what is required not to be a cheat? Not to be a cheat, you have to see things differently. You have to know that your next meal does not come from the next drawing or the next sale. 2 Corinthians 5:16. We're very close now. Hang in there. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. It's a command of the Word. It's a command of the church. We regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know Him thus no longer. My word. Do you understand what that scripture is saying? This was a writing about Jesus. I used to know Him by the flesh. Not any longer. Oh, well, that's because He was walking knowing and He what? No. This is Corinthians, man. This is Corinthians. We're not talking about... Paul never had no long walk with Jesus, did he? Can I tell you what this is saying? I used to be one of those that would judge Jesus by what I saw His flesh do. I don't do that anymore. Very important. Very important. Not even Jesus Christ could you judge by the flesh. Because Jesus did some things that you probably wouldn't approve of. Steve, the greatest revelation I ever had was that Jesus messed His diapers. I know it sounds crazy, but when I realized that Jesus messed His diapers, that made it all right for me too. Jesus sassed His parents. I don't care what you think. That's what happened. He was a smarty little old teenage boy. And he got a little cocky for his... He did that because he felt every feeling that I've ever felt. They got after him and said, you just cost me 2 days of travel. He said, don't you know I was about my Father's business? That is a spit in His Father's face. Come on, y'all get real with the Bible. Live there and see what it really says. I'm glad it wasn't me. I'd have probably knocked him down on the ground. If I'd have been his father, I'll teach you who you obey. Quack! But see, it wasn't just Mary. It was also Joseph that pondered these things in his heart. Joseph was the head of that house. A normal father back then, that was rude, and he got a licking. But Joseph was pondering the same things Mary was pondering. Are you hearing me? Long before you and I ever knew Jesus by the Spirit, Mary and Joseph knew Him by the Spirit. They had to, because they had to raise the flesh. You going to do that with your kid? You going to raise it by the Spirit, not by the flesh? How about those of you that have been born again a long time, walked in salvation? Are you going to help those that are like that? And you're not going to judge them by the flesh, but by the Spirit? We don't require... verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, notice that it doesn't say if anyone's born again. It says if anyone is in Christ, what's the rest of it? He's a new creation. What else? Old things have passed away. All things have become new. How many of you are still living in old things? You got old things. Haven't believed quite yet that all things have become new. The best thing you can do for yourself is to heal yourself. You do it by the knowledge of what we've talked about today. By the belief of what we've talked about today. By the Word of God. Do you understand that the Word of God is more powerful than you are? Why am I saying that? Because you believe you're more powerful than the Word. As many times, Paul, you talk to me like Paul would talk to me. The things that I don't want to do, that I do them. And I'm so mad. And the things that I don't want to do, I turn around and do them. He said that once. And then you began to see in his writings where that didn't apply anymore. Because he grew up. Why? Because the Word was more powerful than Paul. And Paul applied the word to Paul, and the word became real, and Paul went away. And if you can do it with you, you can do it with me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I've got two choices. Listen to me carefully now. I've got two choices in my life. I can live in the open right here. And I can do it. We can sing about glorify thy name. I can do it with my life. I'm telling you, with my faith and my belief about the word killing me and rising up Jesus in me, I can believe that can happen. I can live openly and I can draw all men unto him. Or I can believe the devil. When the devil says, I don't care what you think, I don't care what... You remember just the other day? Harry, you remember the other day when you bumped your hand, you threw that hat across the room? Yep. But you know what? I can be the accuser. Or I can be Jesus and say, I can remember when Harry would have done a whole lot more than throw the hat across the room. Why? Because the Word is stronger than Harry. I have an extreme belief in every one of you. Everybody in here, I don't care who you are, what you've ever done. I have a belief that the Word is stronger than you are. I have a belief that the Word is stronger than me. And I don't care what I've ever done in the past, and I won't tell mine if you won't tell yours. And I won't tell mine even if you do tell yours. Because it's not where we need to be. It's not where we need to be. I need to talk about who God is right now to me. I need to live who God is right now to me. And if I make a mistake today, the Word is stronger for tomorrow than for today. And I'm not going backwards. I told you about my wife and I's relationship. There ain't no oops allowed. Plain and simple. There ain't no oops allowed. She can get a little hostile. I can get a little hostile. We can gripe at each other once in a while. That's as far as we're going to take it. That's a rule. That's a law. And so my relationship with God, there's no oops. I'm not going to commit a little adultery on the side because I think God failed me yesterday. If I quote the Word, it'll take care of tomorrow. If I commit adultery, now I've got three more yesterdays to do. I've got some more failures. Because there is the law at seed time and harvest. You want a good harvest or bad? We've talked about this before. You want a good harvest, do good. You want a bad harvest, do bad. Plain. Nearly childlike, isn't it? Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was and is lost. Let's confess to each other that without that, those three stages, especially the last one, keep. We're still lost. How are we lost? I'm going to go to heaven. What about the people that were putting on your as a burden for you? You've confessed to me, Steve, I don't want to lose my children. It's a burden to you, right? It's such a strong burden that it will change his lifestyle, I guarantee you. This is another part of the Word. When you begin to feel the burden of other people, it will change your lifestyle. When you begin to see generations, your children and your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, if nothing else, that'll make you walk straight. But what about those people that you are not even sure about, but God is? What about Jaime and Cozumel? Come on, Bob, what about him? Don't you think God knows where he is? And don't you think he might be trying to use us to get to him? What about that time when Jaime ran off and left his wife and kids, ran off with that woman to Hawaii? Do you know who he called? He called Connie and I. And we began to say, Jaime, that's not right. Jaime, what about your boy? What about that little boy you love so much? What about that little girl that was just born? How are you going to answer for that, Jaime? You were raised without a dad. Your dad ran away when you were young. Is that the way you want it for your children? And Jaime goes back home, and he's still home. God wants to use us, but he's got to get us out of a born-again state. What's the born-again state? I'm free, I'm clear, I don't know anything any man but love, and we'll figure out later what that means. You know what the world's definition of love? Jaime in adultery in Hawaii while his children are raised by the mother. And he says, I love them. That ain't love. Greater love hath no man than he lay his life down for his friend. That's love. What's the first part of life laying down we have to do? It doesn't make any difference what I want. I have you to worry about. And now the Word begins to change. We don't live for us. We don't live for us. If I can't say anything else, let me say this to you. There's going to come a time when your heart stops beating. And at that time, your whole life is going to pass before you by an ordination of God. And at that time, you're going to understand why you live this life. Wouldn't it be better to understand now than find out later that I did it all wrong? I made good money. I provided a good house. I provided clothing. I did everything that was right. And Jesus said, you did everything that was wrong. Depart from me. I never knew you. A good man is not what I'm after. I'm after the Word, walking and talking and living. Say a union between the Savior and the saved that brings other people into the kingdom of God. Make sense? Y'all want to stand with me? Now, I want to tell you something. We offer by the Word. We offer by the Word. On the authority of the Word of God, I offer you salvation this morning. Not just being born again, even though that's the step. I offer you salvation. I don't care whether or not you've been born again. I care or not whether you are walking in the born-again way right now, the salvation way, where the God Himself is keeping you and His Word you're keeping. And if you're not there, I invite you to come forward and say, I'm not there. Whatever it is that I don't have, I don't even know what it is, but I want more. That's good enough. I want to give my life to God. You say it the way you want, but I promise you beyond a shadow of a doubt that God's got more for you than you've ever had in the past. And here's the cool part. Can I tell you this? There is no more ritual. Are you hearing me? There's no more ritual. My Nazarene ritual is gone. My Baptist friend's ritual has to go. It's gone. The Catholic, the Methodist, the Seventh-day Adventist, I don't care who you say, that ritual must go. And the ritual now must become that you sleep, eat, breathe with Jesus. And I'm telling you, He is cool. He's good. He's fun. He's heavy. All of those things at once. Mostly, He's exciting. If your life has kind of taken a slump or a slowdown or a wrong bend, it's time to get it right. Why don't you quit being the bait that's dragged behind the cruise ship and get back up on it? Who knows? God may let you direct it one day. You may be the captain of that ship. But He'll probably start you in the learner's class. Then He'll start you in teaching the learner's class. You're going to work your way up. I mean, that's just the way it is. Come on, everybody in here right? Everybody in here righteous? I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I believe there's some lives in here that could get better. I'm not saying you're not good people. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying there's some people in here that could be better. That's right. You became righteousness in Christ the minute you were born again. I will remind you, for those that still don't understand what I'm saying, the Bible says that unless you are born again, you will not see the rest of the salvation package. You will not see the kingdom of God. Let me say it another way. You won't understand a thing about what I'm talking about. Unless you're born again, you can't even understand what I'm talking about. I'm talking about one that sticks closer than a brother. I'm talking about one that if your child begins to die in the middle of the night, you're not afraid. You're not afraid. You don't go screaming and yelling. You just say, Savior, Jesus, we got a deal here. Remember the deal? Do you remember the deal? I know you've been holding me to that deal. Now I'm holding you to the deal. Doesn't the Bible say faith without works is dead? It must apply both sides, right? Amen. All hearts clear? Praise your Lord. Yes.
Lord, I want to remind you, sisters, they're always in crisis. Whether it's ever changing our life, it's in crisis. And in Christ, in that note, I want to speak to this brother to you right now, Ronnie. Ronnie, I just mean to tell you, a crisis happens. Don't be afraid. I'm not saying this to bring fear to you. Just the opposite. God says, Ronnie, I interrupted your life. Well, Mike.
You? Is he looking at you? Mike.
This gentleman right there is the one I'm talking to.
Me and Mike.
Okay, Mike, I'm sorry. Mike, let me correct that. Mike, you're the one the Holy Spirit wants. There's a crisis you've chosen. This won't be your choice. There's a paradigm shift coming to your life. I'm not saying this to bring fear to you. Just the opposite. Fear is your enemy. What the Holy Spirit wants to say to you is that when this crisis occurs, you need to choose Christ. You need to stand your ground. The Lord says, I don't know nothing about you, sir. Not a thing. But I want to tell you, the Lord shows me that recently He's stirred your life up. Recently, the Holy Spirit has reached down and touched you in the middle of your busy life. God has touched your life. In other words, He is drawing you to Himself. He's facing you to Him because God knows there's a crisis coming. See? Just like God knew there was a famine coming, He prepared people beforehand. God knew there was a flood coming. He prepared people. God knows what's coming. And sir, there's Mike, there's a crisis coming to your life. Don't be afraid. The Lord says, now more than ever in this crisis, you turn your face to Christ and have no fear. You will overcome. It will totally change your life, sir. There's some big changes coming to your life. The direction of your life is going to change. Hold on to these words. I'm no psychic here. You'll see whether or not these are the words of God. You won't have to guess. Don't let the enemy play with your mind. You won't have to guess. When this thing comes, you'll know you're in a crisis. And you'll know and remember the word of the Lord. I'm not God. I'm just a servant. Holy Spirit says, tell that man, Mike, when it comes, and it is surely coming, turn your face full to God and just walk in faith.
Praise the Lord.
Cast down all fear. God's going to keep you, Mike.
Hallelujah.
God's going to hold you, Mike. God's not going to let you slip. God's not going to let you fall. God's going to do something for you, Mike. You have failed some tests in the past, some crises in the past. When the crises came, you turned away from God because you got angry, because you got mad. This time you will not.
Hallelujah.
This time you will spit right in the face of evil. You will not turn away from God in crisis, but you will turn fully towards Him.
Hallelujah.
In this crisis. And you, Mike, will overcome in the name of Christ.
Hallelujah.
Your Savior.
Praise the Lord.
There's that. Are you two related? You and the lady right next to you? You're related? What are you?
Husband
and wife?
Yeah, husband and wife.
Okay, I have something for you too, okay? What's their name? You should probably know.
Yeah, Joy and Shapiro. That's who you're talking about.
Okay, yeah, the gentleman with the no hair and the lady next to him. Okay,
Joey
brother, God wants to tell you, you're about to, God's going to open a door for you for a job. I just sense it so strong. There's some changes coming to your life, big changes. Lord's going to do something for you you don't deserve. I'm not saying this to try to embarrass you. God's going to do something for you you don't deserve, because you need to be shown that it's not about your works or what you can prove. It's about His sacrifice. It's about what the man said by the Holy Spirit today. God laid His life down for you. Christ laid His life down for you. And right now He knows exactly where you're at. And you need to understand that. So what the Holy Spirit is going to do for you, sir, is He is going to open a door for you. He's going to bless you. He's going to make a way for you. You're not going to earn it. It's not going to be because you did anything except accept it. God, you're going to run right into this job. God's going to bless you in a great way, sir, in a great way. Now remember it. Remember what I'm saying, that it's Jesus, the Lord of the harvest, that's bringing this to you. So just be grateful. Just be thankful unto Him. Okay? Just be thankful. And sis, I want to tell you, the Lord says that He's doing a work in him. God says, you be confident that I'm doing a work in him. Don't think it's going to be. Sometimes you felt like you're going forward, but you feel like you're falling backward, like you're not making any progress. Like, God, where are you in my life? I'm trying to turn my life back to you. I hear the Holy Spirit saying, tell her this, because I hear her cries. You're crying to God, I'm trying to turn my life back to you. But then these things are happening around me. I hear the voice of the enemy screaming around me. And I feel like, where are you, God? Where are you? The Lord says, I hear all that too. But the Lord says, I'm going to prove myself to this man by my love and not by my weapons of war. Because beating him will not prove anything because of his nature. God says, the more I beat this man, the further he'll walk away from me. The Lord says, I'm going to love him in. I'm going to nurture him in. I'm going to teach him that I'm the Lord of the harvest. And so the Lord says, it's tough on you. The Lord says, hold on, daughter. Hold on. Trust me. I'm well aware of what's going on around you and in your home. The pain, the voices, the anger, the struggle. God says, I knew you and him before. And I died for you then.
Amen.
And I'd die for you again if I had to, but I don't have to. Now, trust me, daughter. The Lord just wants to encourage you, woman of God. Just encourage you. I hear your cries. I hear your prayers. I am with you. I am with you. No matter what you see, no matter what you hear, the Lord says, my hand is upon your house.
Okay? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. I held that mic up there so it'd be on tape if you want to. Anytime you hear a word of the Lord, you need to listen to it a couple times, because you're not too sure what He said. I promise you, you don't hear real well when it comes. You need to hear it several times more. All right. Heart's clear? No. He wasn't trying to make anybody afraid.
No. Mike's.
Amen.
But we'll pray. But we'll pray. voice. Yes, sir. I hear fear in your spirit. And I love you. God loves you. God don't want you.
No.
Have fear in your house. Have faith in God. The might is going to come.
Amen. I want to tell you, let's just add to that right quick. God doesn't take weak people and challenge them. That's not what he's talking about. Mike's had a lot of challenges in his life. I don't even know him, and I know that. And I know that he's been strong enough to face every one of them. All this word was, is you're going to have another one, which I like that. I like for people to warn me when something's coming. That keeps me from being afraid. But the main part of that was, is that God's going to show himself in this one. And you're going to know it, and it's going to encourage you in God. That's what this is about. If it had started raining on Noah, if it caught him off guard, he'd have been dead meat. The word came to Noah and said, there's going to be a real calamity happen here, and here's what I want you to do. I want you to get ready for it. That's what I believe about the word of the Lord when it comes. It's not to cause you to tremble and shake or have goosebumps thinking you're the best, you know, the bee's knees. You know, that's not what this is about. When God speaks to you, when he speaks to I, privately or publicly, it is to get us to move one step closer to him, one step closer to helping the kingdom of God, a larger step, a bigger step. So, please, always be encouraged when God speaks to you. You know that he doesn't speak to those that are lost without hope? I'll tell you, so you're not afraid. He never speaks to those that are lost without hope. Never happens. He quits talking when there's no hope. He's not going to single anybody out and give them any kind of word. You'll never hear a word of the Lord saying, sir, it's over, you're going to hell. Isn't that right? You're not going to hear that. If you ever hear that, it wasn't God. Because if that's the truth, he's not talking anymore. That's what would scare me. Safe. What are you standing there for? Come on, come on, come on, come on. Now listen, in case you think I'm a weird duck, you're right. But when it comes to women, I believe that women ought to come and lay hands on women. I believe that beyond a shadow of a doubt. That doesn't mean you men can't come up here and pray. But I really wish you'd keep your hands to yourself. My woman's mine. She ain't to be touched. Hear me? That's right. You're right. Come on, somebody feeling bold, pray.
Anguish, take that away.
Yes, yes.
Father, not some action in her, to her, for her all to repentance.
Yes.
And change. Any pain, any doubt, Father, and only put in place the word.
Daughter, it's the same old, same old. I'm back at the same place with you again, child. But daughter, I'm going to tell you, this time you're going to hear me. And you're going to be able to do what I've asked you to do. You got to get out of my way, daughter. You got to get out of my way. You've been the bail bondsman to your children over and over and over again. My spirit has sought to deal with your children. I have sought to bring conviction on them. I have sought to teach them that their choices have cause and effect. But you have come and you have bailed them out over and over and over and over again. You have bailed out situation after situation. With our daughter, be at peace for the very prayer, the very cry of your heart unto
Jesus.
My throne, that your children be saved, that your house be touched. I am attempting to do. Why do you continually get in my way? Have faith in me, daughter, and back off from your children. Commit them to me. Commit their ways to me.
Yes.
I don't worry. I've got a hold of them. I'm the Lord of the harvest. I'll let them reap what they need to reap from the lesson. But you've got to quit bailing them out. And there are so many that get in my way, saith God. Get in my way when I'm trying to do a work. I don't want you to feed when I'm trying to starve. And I don't want you to starve when I'm trying to feed. Do you understand now, daughter? Is my language plain enough to you? I've tried to tell you this for many years. But your mercy gift. I've given you a gift of mercy, daughter. I surely have. You're an intercessor now. Pray. But quit using the mercy gift I have given you to get in my way. Learn how to control that mercy gift, saith God. Learn how to control it. You can't play God in their life anymore. So get on your knees and be an intercessor unto me and let me play God in their life. I'll show you when it's time to show mercy. Let me circumcise the gift that I do. Now be at peace, saith the Lord. I don't only tell you I give you peace, my daughter, but I command you to come into peace.
Yes, in Jesus' name. And health and healing. I would remind all of you that health comes from peace. Peace doesn't come from health. I promise you that your health will come from peace. It's a gift from God. It comes when you trust Him more than you do yourself. Praise your Lord. Yes.
The problem is, you feel like you've handed this gift to you. You fooled it. You got to accept it. It's already yours. It's already yours. Just take it up. Even when you don't feel it, just know that He's already healed you. You already thanked
Yes. Be safe. Talk about it. Don't believe in it. Just be it. Be safe. Know it beyond a shadow of a doubt. God can take care of you better than you can, as long as you listen. And it can be something as little as don't eat red hot. Praise God. I'm picking a little thing, and there may be a lot of other things, but I'm telling you, God deals. Our health lies in little things, not big things. Our peace lies in little things, not big things. I guarantee you, we as Christians were told to take care of the big sins, and the little will take care of themselves. No. When you're at your house, you don't wait till the dust makes a big mud clod to take care of it. Right? You better take care of it while it's still a little dust. Or it's going to be beyond hope. Nothing in this situation is beyond hope. Not one thing. I'll say it again. God does not speak to things that are without hope. Hallelujah. Any of you that God convicts once in a while, just remember, God doesn't speak to things without hope. It's exciting when God convicts. It's exciting. It's one more, it's clarification that you're still okay. You're still on the right track. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And I know you haven't given up because you're still trying. Because no, God hasn't given up. All of the hearts clear? All hearts clear? Okay. You know what he's talking about? I made an altar call that every one of you lied. Am I right? Anybody that didn't come down here lied. That's the kind of altar call that I made. Do you understand what I'm saying? Is there anybody here that doesn't want to be closer to God?
More. That's going to happen. I felt like a graduation when I he read this, and that was I said, oh man, more! I could get more, and so I came to the Lord then wanting more. And every single day is kind of like a graduation. Further, and you get changed. Times when you got to start right back at the beginning again. And right now, I just want life more abundant.
And to me, that's the cool part about the walk with Jesus.
Yes.
It doesn't get stale because He's always offering something fresh.
Yes.
That's the good part. See, too many times it comes across like He's reminding you of something that you're doing wrong. Well, that may be the case, but that's not what the goal is. The goal is if I can point out a dust spot, that means if I clean it off, then it's a clean spot.
Yeah.
Right? So the goal is there's one more spot I can get clean. Not, oh, no, I found another dust spot. Right? Now, I'm going to tell you something. I said a while ago, and I'm going to say it again, there's not anybody in this room, including me, that does not need more of God. And I would like for you all just to flood me every time I ask a question like that, so I'll stop asking it. Because what we don't need is an altar service every time the door's open. But what we do need, standing in place, is an altar service within us every time. I believe that's what the Word is about. Now, I appreciate Steve saying, I want more of God. The reason I do that is because sometimes when people see a man of God speaking a Word of God, they think, oh, they're just, everything's hunky-dory in their life. Baloney. You don't know anybody where everything's perfect in their life. You don't know. I don't care what name you drop, there's a little bit more room for improvement. Once again, that is not a negative, that's positive. I don't care how much, by the way, I don't care how much money that I make, I'll bet you anything, I want to make a little bit more. Right? We can all understand that. Why wouldn't I think that about the most profitable thing, entity, move in the face of the earth? Which is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Why wouldn't I want more of that? Well, I had a big dose of Him this morning. Nuh-uh. It's kind of like ice cream. It's kind of like ice cream. There is never enough ice cream. Never. Never enough ice cream. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Let's pray for the unit as a unit, okay? Father, we love You with all of our hearts. We say that even knowing that there are places in our hearts that still You're working on. But with all of our faith and with all of our might, we yield ourselves to You and You alone, as the Bible says. We thank You for redemption. We give You praise and honor and glory. But we understand that's not enough, even for You or I. We thank You for the experience of being born again, that old things have passed away and all things have become new. And God, I give You praise. And Jesus, I thank You for that. But I know that You say it's not enough. And I thank You for the salvation process and the different levels of that, Lord. And I want to go to the highest or to the deepest, however way You describe it. I want to be on the road following You. I want to follow You because it's good for me. But I want to follow You more because it's good for You. It's good for Yours and it's good for the kingdom. I want You to touch and break every heart in this place, including mine. I want You to move us to a place we've never been before in our thought processes, in our prayer life, and in our, if it requires fasting, if it requires open praise and worship, move us in that direction, Lord. We don't want to be ashamed of You. We want our whole life to scream Jesus. We want to be a blinking neon light that draws people to You, Lord. We love You, Lord. We love You, Lord. And I pray specifically for this man that asked. I ask You that You give him more, Lord. You give him more. Give him more of You. Don't give him more popularity until it's time. Don't give him more freedom until it's time, Lord. I ask You to give him more of You.
Yes.
More of You, Lord. Break him in the places that need to be broken and heal where it needs to be healed. Yes. And build up where he needs to be built up. Yes. But do it all, Father, for Your glory and for Your honor. Let this man be a tall, big, loud mouth for You. Doesn't need a microphone ever. But speaking what You would have him to speak. And teach us all this, Lord. But to shut up when we need to shut up. All of us, Lord, teach us that. To be stand in silence when we need to. And then to speak boldly when we need to speak. The Lord, I pray and prophesy over him that he's going to be known among the nations. And there's no doubt about that. Not known to be something that we duck. But known that when this man speaks, you better listen. I thank You that he's here in Denver, Lord.
Yes.
And I know there's a crisis in her life, in his life and in her life too. And I ask You to move and answer the question.
Yes.
Meet the need. Block the roads that lead away from You. Open the roads that lead to You in Your will. Provide like provision has never been seen before. Provide. And for that, we give You praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise You, Lord. I ask You, I speak over Jeff also, Lord. He asked openly that You touch him. You touch him. You touch him. Lord, I thank You that openly, because this man is my friend and I'm his, that I can say there's some things about Jeff I don't like. And the reason I can say that is because You can say it. And we need to be bold enough and big enough men to say that about ourselves, that there's some things that God don't like about us. And those things I cast to one side in myself and this body and in this man. And with it I replace Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I will not judge Him by the flesh. Therefore, all of those things that I don't like fall to one side.
Amen.
And I will look at those things that are to come, the spiritual things. The mighty man of God, the big, bad, bold voice that sings and praises God, that leads and drags others in kicking and screaming into a praise and worship service that's beyond anything that we've ever thought or asked. God, I thank You for the songs that You give Him, that they glorify You and they magnify You. I thank You for the songs that He's changing to do that. I thank You that He is more than enough for whatever You've asked Him to do. And I'll leave it at that in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank You for the words that have come forth this morning. They're words of life. Not only out of Your Word, but out of other people's mouths and out of other people's prayers this morning. I thank You that lives have been changed and healed this day, this moment, for eternity. And out of that will flow rivers into other people, which brings rivers of people into this body. Not for our honor, but for Yours and Yours alone. Touch, rock, shake, and move this city by this body of believers, because they are not shakable any longer. We love You, Lord, with all of our hearts. We stand on Your Word. We believe in you. We know that this word, this action, this time that seems so long that it's taken this morning, that we've spent this morning, will cause profit in each and every individual life. Profit in the family, profit in the children, the grandchildren and beyond. Profit in the bank account, spiritually, physically, financially, mentally, and in every way. And for these things, we know they're done because, as Jesus said, it is finished. And we agree. Amen. Hallelujah. We don't have to put things away this morning. Leave them up. Hallelujah.